So now we're up 6-2, and Dougie Risebrough crosses center ice with Bobby Clark. And all of a sudden, Clarky's feet are straight up in the air facing the top of the ceiling. Dougie just smacked him on the way by. The bench is empty, and the first guy off their bench is Schultz, and the first guy off our bench is me, and so we start going at it. Well, the fights went on for about 20 minutes. They turned the lights off in the spectrum. Three cops got knocked down trying to come out on the ice and slow things down. So they turn the lights off, then they come out, and finally everybody gets done. We win the game 6-2, and we won the fights about 60 stitches to nothing. And so at the end of the day, we wound up playing them three or four times that season. There wasn't another challenge by them to us. And when it came to playoffs, they knew that they were going to have to play hockey against us because they couldn't challenge us physically. We were just too strong, too tough. And after that season, it was pretty much, that was the end of the Broad Street Bullies. Every other team in the league went after them whenever they were challenged. Yeah. And that was the end of their tenure as the tough guys.
How about that? That's Rick Chartrand of the Montreal Canadiens. Stanley Cup run in the 70s, coached by Scotty Bowman, with his old teammate Knuckles Nylén. Earlier today in studio on Off the Cuff here on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Habs and Sharks tonight in San Jose. Pierre McGuire's in St. Louis.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Team toughness matters. Wolfpack mentality.
Oof. Well, that was there. There's the backstory. People want to know, was there any story beside the great talent that was assembled that knocked off the Flyers? Yeah, they had to do it in an exhibition game first.
Well, they respected the sweater. They respected the organization. Guys knew it was a privilege to play there. And I think they never looked down on that. You know, you think about all those great teams that you and I had a chance just to watch, forgetting the teams in the 50s and the 60s. We weren't old enough, but, well, in the 60s we were. But the 70s team, I mean, think about the respect those men had. If you were a young guy coming in the organization, you had to worship at the altar of Jean Béliveau. You know, you had to worship at the altar of Henri Richard. You had to respect Serge Savard and Henri Richard, and you know, it goes on and on and on. It never ended.
And if you were an all-star,
They were so good.
You're making these kids jealous here. If you were an all-star defenseman in the Ontario League, like Rick Chartrand was with Kitchener, you're joining the Montreal Canadiens. You better learn how to play right wing.
And he also knew how he was going to stay there. You know what it would take to stay there.
Dropping the gloves, yeah.
Correct. You know, here's your role. You choose to accept it and play to it, or you don't. You know, and that's one of the things I think most of his teammates. There were three guys on that team. I think Mario Tremblay, who came as an 18-year-old, Rick Chartrand, Larry Robinson, and actually four, and Pierre Bouchard. I don't want to forget Pierre because he was tough as nails. Those four guys, they were respected by their teammates because they didn't fight for themselves. They fought for their team. There's a big difference.
And my favorite player of that era, Dougie Risebrough, who was outsized, when he arrived, he fought everybody. Everybody. He dropped his gloves with everybody.
Everybody. Absolutely. Again, another guy that was a dominant offensive force in the Ontario Hockey League before he came to the Canadiens.
So those were the good old days. It's hardly been anything resembling the good old days for the current Montreal Canadiens, and especially in San Jose. Now, it's not like they play them four or five times a year, but still, they've gone 20 years without a regulation win in San Jose. They're not the only team that finds it so tough. However, as you pointed out yesterday, this is not your typical San Jose Sharks team anymore. What's going on there?
No, well, Marlowe leaving obviously set them back, and players have just gotten older. You know, I was talking to our great friend Stu Hackle this morning as I was heading to the airport, and I said, you know, what people forget is Brent Burns. He was in the 03 draft. He's 32, almost 33 years of age. And Miles, he didn't come in the league, you know, as a 21-year-old. He came in as an 18-year-old, and he got injured. People forget what forced the trade from Minnesota to San Jose. He had significant concussion-related issues, and there were some big internal issues between him and the team. So it's not like he's 100% healthy when he gets traded. Mitch, are you there?
We just had an intrusion by a computer audio file here. Okay, I apologize for that. Go ahead.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize. So anyways, what I'm saying is that team's gotten older in a hurry. Mark Edward Vlasic turned pro as an 18-year-old. He was in the NHL as an 18-year-old. I think the world of him as a person, as a player. He's a good player. But, I mean, these guys have all gotten old in a hurry. And, you know, they've got to hope that Logan Couture can step up. They've got a really good goal scorer in Kevin LeBanc. You'll get a chance to watch him tonight. He's a good story. Kid from Brooklyn that goes up and plays in the Ontario League and buries pucks in the net. He can score. And Martin Jones was a really good acquisition for them. But they haven't had a lot of young players filtering through their organization.
Yeah, even some of their depth guys are like Joel Ward.
Joel played, but people, and you know this, but just so fans understand, Joel Ward played major junior hockey, and then he went and played Canadian college hockey before he even got a sniff after playing in the American Hockey League with Milwaukee for Nashville, before he even got a sniff in the NHL. He's getting up there.
So when an older player is having to adjust to maybe a new role or maybe come to the realization that for whatever reason, the skill set is just, it's starting to dip a little bit. As a coach, do you try to convince them that maybe a little bit less could be more for them with regards to ice time or power play time or something like that?
Oh, I think there's a lot to that. Absolutely. You know, again, learning at the knee of Scotty Bowman with older players, he respected older players so much. But he found a way to make them understand less is more. You know, there are going to be days where I'm going to give you a day off. Don't take it personally. I want you to be invigorated for the game. You've practiced enough over the course of your career. Or, you know what, I may only have you out there to defend a lead in the last period of a game. Don't take it personally in the first 40 minutes if you only play about 10 to 12 minutes. You know, those kinds of things. You have to make sure the player is told that, but I would say there's a lot of merit to what you just said, Rod.
If you missed Rick Chartrand with Chris Nyland, some great stories. We'll replay some of it after 5:30. And after Who Wore It, somebody can win tickets to a Canadiens Vancouver game in January at the Bell Center.
Is it going to be his number?
That is entirely up to Mitch Gallo, but I think we already did 27.
Yeah.
Lucien Deblois, was he a 27 too? Who else was a 27 on the Habs? Anyway. So that's coming up. That's coming up. See, you get me lost here, Pierre, with all these numbers flashing back here.
They're good memories for some of our veteran listeners.
You're very kind.
They don't remember.
All right. So please explain how Joe Morrow can salvage an NHL career at the age of 24. Is it possible?
Rod just said something that's so great. Less is more. Joe has to stop being a wild Bronco. I told you when they got him, his decision-making is flawed. I was really surprised he came to Montreal because he had issues with Claude in Boston. And I don't mean yelling and screaming issues. It just Claude didn't play him. He didn't trust him. He didn't put him in there a lot because he's a wild Bronco. They've got to tame him. And if he can understand, just use your skating ability when it's prudent. Move the puck mostly around the boards, not through the middle. Don't be the last guy back stick handling and turning the puck over. If they can get him to understand those three concepts, he might be okay. But if they can't, it's going to be a problem.
Just we needed to make a change there. So, you know, Benny's going to take a break. He's been fighting it a little bit. And so it's a chance for Joe to come in and do the job here for us.
All right, so Jordy Ben clearly having issues handling the puck. That's something that Morrow should be able to do.
Yeah, he should be. Again, this is, and it reminds me so much of, remember when James Wisniewski came?
Sure.
And I said, there are going to be some nights when you're going to love him, and there are going to be some nights where you're going to say, James, what could you have been thinking? That's Joe Morrow. The only difference is James Wisniewski could blast a puck right through a wall.
Right.
Joe Morrow can't do that. So that's the difference, but they're very similar type players.
And the other lineup change, no surprise being in San Jose, that Torrey Mitchell gets another shot in the middle on that fourth line with Hemsky and Galchenyuk instead of Jacob De La Rose.
Right, and that, you understand that. It's a back-to-back, too, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of fluctuating bodies, but that's the appropriate thing to do, put Torrey in against his old team that drafted him and turned him pro out of the University of Vermont. Again, you know what I think of Torrey and his family. I've known them a long time and known Torrey forever, and I'm just a huge fan of the person. He's still a serviceable player, but I really like the person a lot, and I hope he does well.
All right. Any concern that, you know, we often talk about the first game back home after a road trip in different time zones? Is there any concern out of the gate for the Canadians tonight, first game?
To go into San Jose?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, Mitch. I mean, the biggest thing is build off of what you did on Saturday night. You got a point. You put it in the bank. You played, I thought, a very good game. You know, there were some things that you'd like to have back, but that's part of the growing pain of being a young team or a team that's learning with some younger players in the lineup. No, I think they should just go out. If I were them, I would try to slow it down early so that San Jose can't get a lead early and establish something, because that's when it does get tough in that building. The crowd's right on top of you. It's an old school building. So if you give up a lead early, and it manifests itself to a 2 or 3 goal lead, you're not getting back in that game there. It's too hard. So you got to keep it tight to the vest early on.
You know how important a good start is in this league. You know, we got off to a bad one against Washington, and you know, we dug and dug in the second period, but just couldn't get back of the hole. So making sure you have a good start, you know, goes a long way for the game.
It's loud. It makes it fun, though. I think playing in a couple playoff series in here. I don't know if it's the way that the rink's built or whatever. It's like the people are on top of you. It's a fun place to play.
All right. Paul Byron and Shea Weber to what Pierre was just saying on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 Rutt.
So talked a lot about older players. How about Jonathan Drew, a younger player who's gotten off to a really strong start? And now that he's a full-time center, Pierre, do you learn how to properly conserve energy? Not necessarily you want to go all out on every shift, but maybe you also ensure that you're fresh come the last 3, 4, 5 minutes of the game or into overtime. Is that something you adjust to over time?
I call it efficiency. And Jonathan Toews is one of those players. Anze Kopitar is one of those players. Patrice Bergeron is one of those players. I saw one last night, Tyler Johnson. Another one is Henrik Zetterberg. They're really efficient players. They understand that concept that you just proposed, Rod. When they can turn it on, when they need to back it off, how to play in their own zone, very efficient with movement. They don't have a lot of wasted movement. They move the puck well, so they're not always carrying it and having people on their backsides. Those are really efficient players, and they're hard to find, but they're very good.
So, Mitch Gallo, quiet so far. Are you waiting till the end here, or
because well, I want to? He's thinking about.
I know.
Toronto I
want.
I know what he's. Thinking.
Oh wait a minute, Frank Mahovlich, 27.
27. I thought you didn't know.
No, I said Lucien Deblois for some reason. Anyways, yeah, we know what Gallo's doing. He's going through the rosters. But go ahead.
No, I'm wondering, Pierre, about Max Pacioretty specifically. The fact that he has 18 shots on goal. It's been 5 games, and he only scored in the first game. And we've seen Pacioretty go through these extended period of times in his career where he doesn't score. I'm just wondering if you think it seems like he's closer to scoring, or if this streak looks like it's going to be one that's prolonged a little bit longer.
Well, I hope he's going to be closer to scoring, because that's what he's got to do for this team in particular. I mean, them have and they only 8 goals after 5 games. That's not enough, and he's got to have more than one. Yeah, no, I just keep shooting the puck. At some point, they will go in, but he's got to keep shooting the puck. You just don't want him to lose his confidence, because we saw what happened last year in particular, and I'm not backing off it. He took it right in the chops in the playoffs, and maybe some of it was justified, but there were other guys that were guilty as charged in terms of not producing, but he's a guy that took it, and he took it hard. I don't think he needs to go through that during the regular season. He's got to start scoring.
Do those doubts that creep in, even though, you know, you try to have common sense about it, and you know you've got a track record, but the fact that they were eliminated and they didn't score, they couldn't finish, and now here we are, they're struggling as a team. The goaltender's very much a part of that, but they haven't scored. It seems like they've picked up where they left off last spring. Like, do you think that's weighing on them? Not just the slow start this year, but what happened last spring?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I do think there's a carryover. And you talk about carryovers. I'm looking at what's transpiring in Ottawa. They've been tremendous out of the gate. They really have been. And look at all the injuries they've battled through. And they're getting Carlson back tonight. They're the number one team in the league on the penalty kill. Number one in the league on the penalty kill. They built off of what they accomplished last year. And that road trip they had in Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton, and running the table in the Canadian-Bermuda Triangle, that's a hard thing to do, especially going through Alberta back-to-back. I use Ottawa as a measuring stick. They built off of going to the Eastern Conference Final, whereas Montreal for whatever reason, they haven't been able to get themselves out of the doldrum of last year's playoff debacle.
There's no doubt when you got some guys that are goal scorers that haven't scored yet, and you know it's a normal thing that they may be squeezing the stick a little bit, but that's what they got to overcome, and that's what we got to try and do.
All right, so one would assume, one would hope that Galchenyuk picks up where he left off Saturday and that Max Pacioretty starts finding the net, maybe not to the extent, but kind of along the lines of what Kucherov has done to start the season.
Is he good, Mitch.
That whip, he's got that whip-like shot that we saw again last night. He scored in six straight games now, halfway to Mario's record.
Well, what's interesting about him, Stamkos, this is on the power play, Stamkos is the righty, he's the lefty, they're on opposite sides, Hedman's up high, and so you've got one-timers galore all over, and it's opening, everybody's overplaying on Stamkos, and it's opening up for Kucherov. Watching it last night, I was like, oh boy, they're going to have to adjust to that Kucherov, and everybody in the league better start adjusting to it. But the other thing is Namestnikov, down the middle, he's one of the most improved guys I've seen. He's playing as a top-line player in Tampa, and you would never know that most people have him rated, I'm talking about pro scouts, have him rated as a depth player who can produce offense. He's playing as a top-line player, and he's producing. He's good. He's really improved. Good for him. But that line is scary, and Kucherov is crazy good.
Tampa Bay and New Jersey tonight. In that 3-2 win over Detroit, Mike Green scored. Pierre, and again, we go back to guys who've had track records, but Mike Green, his career kind of looked stalled. He's off to an incredible start offensively.
It started the first night of the season for him when he scored against Minnesota, and he was really dominant with the puck on the point, jumping in, shooting the puck. He did some really good things that night. I was there doing the game, and Mike's a creature that if he's got his confidence, and you know, even he did an interview last night after the first period, after he scored, and you could see there was enthusiasm there. He loves points. He loves to get points as a defenseman. I think it makes him feel better. And you could see he's definitely he's trending upwards because of it.
All right, something that may have been lost in a very busy weekend with the Leafs. We all know what the Leafs did here Saturday night. They're in Washington. The Capitals got spanked badly.
They did.
By Philadelphia.
You know who did the spanking? The top line. Voracek, Giroux, and Couturier. They shredded those guys. I mean, now, again, Couturier was a back-to-back 90-point-plus player in the Quebec Major Junior League with Drummondville. Voracek was an outstanding player with Halifax and over in Kladno in the Czech Republic. And everybody knows how great Giroux was in Gatineau. That line is scary good. That's probably, at this point, one of the top lines in the league that nobody's talking about. But that's who did the damage against Washington on Saturday.
They racked up 10 points. And we talked about this, right, about having to turn Couturier loose and not just have him play this one-dimensional shutdown style because he has the ability.
Because it started when they rushed him into the league as an 18-year-old. I'll never forget it. They had him pigeonholed down deep in the lineup as a shutdown guy and a faceoff specialist. And I'm going, did anybody not watch him play junior? He was an unbelievable junior. In fact, I can tell you, it takes me back to the World Junior in Buffalo, 2011. And Sean Couturier and Louis LeBlanc were the two best players that summer at the orientation camp in Newfoundland it was that year. It was in St. John, Newfoundland. They were the two best players. And the third best was Jaden Schwartz. Those were the top guys, but the top two guys were Louis LeBlanc and Sean Couturier when it came to manufacturing offense at that camp. I can tell you. And then he turns pro with Philly and they have him check. They turn him into a checker.
We are about to play Who Wore It again. Pierre Maguire is in St. Louis for the NBC Rivalry Night. It's going to be emotional with Eddie Olczyk back in the booth tomorrow night, St. Louis and Chicago. You used to go to Mike Shannon's for dinner in St. Louis. I know. So where do you go these days?
I go to Roost Chris.
Where's that?
It's at the Hyatt Hotel. It's about a two-block walk from where I stay.
Rod is nodding.
Steakhouse, major steakhouse.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, Ruth Chris. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I know Ruth Chris.
Started in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Started in New Orleans and then moved on. But, yeah, no, there's a bunch of them in the United States. I think there's some in Canada, too. I know there's one in Toronto. I don't know if I don't think Montreal needs one. They've got
Montreal. No, Gord Miller can vouch for Moishes, especially when I have
to
pay.
That's my spot. I just, you know, I think you know that.
Oh, yeah.
I got a few spots there. Vago's another one. Milos is another one. Moishes is another one. I don't want to alienate anybody.
Yeah, you are. You already have. This is why you don't make predictions. Now you're leaving people out and they're going, damn.
I know. No, I got Fago in there. I got Moishes I got Milos in there. Those are my
standards. The big three. The big three, like Savard, LaPointe, and Robinson.
Sally goes to all three, so maybe they'll cut her some slack.
All right, enjoy the night and all the games tonight. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Oh, you know where I'm going to watch most of the games. You know where Baseball Village is in St. Louis, right next to the stadium?
Yep.
I'm going right there after I have dinner to watch all the games. There's a great spot, and they put all the games on, so it's awesome.
Have a good one, Pierre. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. Take care, buddy.
Well, you know, in a lot of cases, it's ideal because, you know, you've got a good defenseman. You got a guy that can probably help you a little bit on the attack, but that doesn't always happen. And you still got to be able to play, I guess, defense to a certain extent. You don't want to be a liability there. But, you know, there's balance that sometimes you look for, and sometimes it works and sometimes not so much. I think Washington was one of those teams a few years ago that had good balance that way.
Claude Julien again on Joe Morrow tonight, replacing Jordy Benn. Originally, of course, it was supposed to be David Schlemko.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub. Well, if you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think of all my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go, gotta go. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub, gotta go.
Hi, I'm Dennis Bowden, Vice President, Senior Investment Advisor with Asante Capital Management. Yes, you heard it.